Now, on the line, I have Dr. Stephen Behan, Research Integration Coordinator at the Insight Centre for Data Analytics at DCU. Good morning, Dr. Behan.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely delighted. Now, you've recently published a study with regards children and their ability to run, skip, hop. And how it contributes to overall healthier outcomes. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Sure, yeah. So I suppose what we looked to do was we looked at what's called fundamental movement skills, okay? So these are basic movements. I'm talking about running, jumping, hopping, skipping, throwing, catching, really, really simple basic movements. And these movements are what we call the building blocks for more advanced movements. Okay, so we did research all around the world would show that the better mastery you have of these basic skills at a young age, the more active you're going to be in your teens. Okay, so that's what started getting us interested in them and started looking a bit deeper. So what we wanted to do in this actual study was to see, was there an actual tangible health benefit to being good at these skills? And so we looked at the relationship between these basic skills and health-related fitness. And health-related fitness, what that comes down to is there's a few components made up of that. So we're talking about cardiovascular endurance, so basically how fit are you, muscle strength and endurance, flexibility and body composition. And all of these things have really, really positive health benefits when on their own. So what we were looking to do was to look at the relationship. One, was there a significant relationship between the two of them, as in, is it important? And then two, because of the large sample size, the large amount of kids that we had involved in the study, we wanted to see, did it change over time? So was that relationship dynamic? And what we found was that there was a very strong relationship between the two, and it does change over time. So that we now know that as your mastery of these skills increases, all the positive indicators from these health-related fitness components also increase. And it gets stronger with age. So basically what it's telling us is if we can work on these basic movement skills at a young age, we know now that it's going to directly impact those health indicators as they get older.
And what sort of age are we talking about here with children?
Yeah, so the study's called Moving Well, Being Well, and we have participants, over 2,000 participants, kids, all the way from junior infants up to sixth class, so 5 to 12, okay? So in terms of the fundamental movement skills, these basic skills, we can master these by the age of 7 or 8, okay? But what we found, and we would have released some results last year, is that we found that the level of mastery of these skills is actually pretty poor in Ireland, and now we're not alone, it's a worldwide trend, but for example, with something as simple as the run, right? And we have really, really simple criteria to measure if we're running efficiently and properly. And we found last year that only 75% of the kids that we tested, now this is from 5 to 12 years of age, only 75% of them had mastered it. And you might be thinking, oh, that's not too bad, 75% is pretty good. That means 1 in 4 kids can't run properly. And when we think about all the activities that involve running, and that then may start affecting this. Oh, Jenny, I know I can't run as well as the guy next to me or the kid next to me in class, and that may affect their confidence or their motivation to take part in those activities.
And you know, I can only talk from kind of my own experiences, and you know, I've had three kids. Now they're all adults at this stage, but I remember especially with the boys. They were interested in sports and in Gaelic games and that, and I know we brought them down to Vincent's at a very early age, and they had the mini leagues, and the mini leagues were just all about just running and catching and so forth. No, none of the more advanced skills, but it just given them a love for the sport, basically.
Yeah, that is exactly it. So I say fundamental movement skills, but all I mean is really simple stuff like catching, kicking, throwing, and hopping, skipping. So if we think it is right, so the think of like 16, 20 really, really basic skills. But the idea is that we build a foundation of these skills. We get a good sort of skill level at all of those. And that then allows us to combine skills together, to link them together, to do them while at speed or to do them under maybe some under pressure. So if you take Gaelic football or hurling, for example, okay, you can hit the ball or you can kick the ball, but now we want to make it a little bit harder and have someone with a bit of pressure on you. But if we ask people to go straight into a hurling match from the get-go, some kids will be fine, but other kids won't. So we just need to be careful about what environments that we're putting them into. So when we talk about these basic skills, we talk about getting up to a sufficient level where you're confident in those skills, okay? So if we'll take kick, for example. If you know you're able to kick the ball, okay, you know when you kick it, it'll pretty much go where you want it to, and it'll pretty much go most of the time. That means you'll be confident to do it. And crucially, you'll be confident to do it in front of your friends and in front of your family. That will then, your motivation, that'll drive your motivation. And as your motivation increases and you take part in more activities that involve kicking, well, then obviously you're going to get better at it because you're doing it more often. And that then again drives the confidence, which drives the motivation. And you have this sort of cycle that starts. And if we can get that in at an early age, for all those skills, you have these kids who are confident and motivated to try any activities, to try new things. But they know that they have those basic skills to fall back on. So they're more likely to be active and they'll figure out whatever activity or sport that they want to be active in. But by put that what you talked about there, but for instance, doing those basic skills, that's a really, really good model, and that helps kids. You're basically giving kids the tools to be active for life.
Now, it's difficult for me, but I do remember back to when I was a kid. I grew up down in Fairview and Merino back in the 60s. Yeah, I'm that old. But one of the things I do really remember is that I lived on Phillipsburg Avenue, and then just around the corner was Bryan Road. You know, Bryan Road, big long road. It goes right across from Phillipsburg Avenue, right the way over to the Malahide Road. But in that first section, when we get out onto we go round onto Bryan Road, and it was just covered in kids. You know, I'm not joking you, there was kids everywhere. Very few cars, but loads and loads of kids playing, and they were all, there was, like they would say, the 13 to 14 to 16 year old girls used to have groups of kids, and they'd be looking after different games, whether it be hopscotch or skipping or hide and seek or whatever, you name it, it was being done there. But all those things, like if you take hopscotch, where you had to throw down your piggy and then hop into each of the squares and do all that sort of thing, they must have been great building blocks for whatever we were going to do later on, whatever sports we were going to take up.
Yeah, 100%. And what you described there, there's probably everybody listening is probably thinking exactly the same thing. Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, we would be out on the road. For me, I remember my curfew to come in was whenever the streetlights came on, and would have spent my days out on the road. And if you think about that environment for a second, you probably had kids in a range of ages from 3 or 4 up to 10, 11, 12, all mixing together, all playing together. So what's happening there is, one, they're being more active. Two, they're developing these skills through practice. And three, they're developing these skills through mimicking. So I'm the 6-year-old, and I see the 9-year-old trying a bicycle kick in soccer or something like that. So of course I'm going to want to try and do that and try and develop it that way. I suppose the environment has changed now for a number of reasons, and kids probably aren't outside playing as much as they are in the current environment. Obviously, it's much harder for them to mix and organise sport, and activities are stopped at the minute. But what I would say to anyone listening is that don't be stressed out about, Janie, I've enough to be worrying about in parenting, and now I have to worry about these fundamental movement skills, developing them. If you are getting outside and playing with your kids, you're doing a great job. If you're encouraging them to play, you're doing a great job. If you're bringing them to sport or to swimming or gymnastics or dance, you're doing a great job. Okay, in the current environment, I'd encourage everybody to bring the kids out to play, whether it be the park, your garden, the playground, whatever it may be, in a safe, obviously in a safe environment. But it's not a hard thing to develop. I'm talking here now as if it maybe is, I'm maybe overcomplicating things, but there's loads of resources online. There's loads of resources on YouTube, on any of the sports. The GAA have some great stuff up on their website, Dublin GAA the same. So there's loads of stuff out there. And if you think about it, all parents have done this already. So you think about how a baby starts to walk. They pull themselves up on the couch, and then you might hold on to them, their two hands, and you help them walk across the room. Then it's maybe one hand, and then it's no hands, until eventually the baby can walk unassisted. Okay, same with cycling the bike, probably. And it's the same with all these skills. You just help them through with little small progressions all the time, and all of a sudden they mass this big range of skills, and they're happy and confident to take part in whatever they want.
Yeah, and you put your finger on something there that has always terrified me, absolutely terrified me, where was that stage between the baby and the toddler when they're just starting to walk. Always free. My wife used to tell me to get out of the room because I could never take it when they started to just start to walk themselves. I was always full sure they were going to go head face in, plant themselves into the fireplace or something like that. But they don't. They have a natural ability to fall on their bottoms, usually.
Yeah, 100%. And it's the same. I'll bring it back again to use another analogy. Like, we talk about, we don't teach kids how to read by just handing them the book. We teach them the alphabet, the sounds of the letters, how to put them into words, sentences, etc., until eventually they can read the book. All right, and it's the same. We don't want to teach kids movement or teach kids sport by throwing them straight into I'll use football or hurling as an example. Like, the goal games in GAA are brilliant, so that's their small sided games, whereas you don't want to throw them into a 15-a-side game at an early age, because the kids who are sporty or active will have a distinct advantage over those who are not. So it's the same with these movements. It's small little progressions. We allow them to build up their confidence in these skills as they go through, and eventually they'll be able to take part in whether it's football or hurling or whatever sport they want.
And I suppose as we're in this pandemic at the moment, and I hate to bring it up because we shouldn't be talking about it all the time because we're terrifying people, I think. But we can do, you know, the small little things like I mentioned there, putting down what we used to call the beds and, you know, just with a bit of chalk on the ground and a little bit of a piggy down there that they can hop and skip into it and, you know, pick it up and throw it to the next one and then hop and skip. All that sort of thing, all those old games, as you might call them, they're just as useful for helping those kind of, we'll call them motor skills.
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly what it is, building up those motor skills. Any of the old games will work perfectly fine. And as I said, there are huge amounts of resources. Like, the sporting organisations and teachers and various different organisations are putting up a massive amount of resources for free online. So if you, like, on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, you get loads of stuff. If you search motor skill or fundamental movement skill games on to Google or YouTube, you'll get thousands upon thousands of videos and games. And anything at all like that, to get the kids moving, to get them having a bit of activity. And what I would say is, people, like, sometimes, and I know we're all, it's a really tough time at the moment, and time seems to go at a different pace, and people maybe say, well, I don't have time. But it doesn't have to be for hours, okay? It can be just a little 10 minutes here, 5 minutes here, 10 minutes, and accumulating loads of these little movement breaks throughout the day, and all of a sudden that'll add up to your hour, your 2 hours of activity a day. And in doing so, you're creating good habits as well within the kids.
And of course, for adults themselves, that's an ideal way to do things. Is you don't have to do an hour stretch of gym work or you know, whatever exercise you're doing, just do five, six minutes at a time is just as useful.
Yeah, 100%. And like, what you see a lot of people out walking at the moment, and something I do now every day, and I wouldn't have probably walked the whole pile before lockdown. It's a great way of getting out of the house, get a bit of fresh air, and do it. I take a call or ring a friend or something like that, and some ways to get out. And that type of exercise, like, if you can have a leisurely walk, or you can increase the pace a little bit and get that sort of moderate activity into you, and that's really, really beneficial. There's huge amount of proven health benefits for that. So, yeah, 100%, get out and move. Small and often will do the job just as well.
But you just mentioned something there that I've found over the years is a great thing to do, and so beneficial, is to vary the pace. That if you're out for a walk and you're going to be out for half an hour or an hour, whatever it is, you know, walk at your normal pace for 5 minutes and then up the pace for 30 seconds or a minute, and then go back to your normal pace. And that varying of pace actually has such a great benefit to you.
Yeah, 100%. So people sometimes, and again, it's probably myself as a researcher, we fall into this trap as well, as maybe we overcomplicate or we use terminology and language that's not that clear. But it's moderate to vigorous physical activity. We talk about kids getting an hour of that a day at least, okay? But moderate is just when you're, if you can't, you should still be able to have a conversation with that moderate activity, you know? So it's just that point where the heart rate is getting up and the breathing becomes a little bit quicker, but you should still be able to have a conversation. So by doing that stuff, like exactly what you outlined there, increasing your pace for 30 seconds and stuff like that, that's absolutely fantastic. And as you said, it's loads of proven benefits towards health. And for me, I find it's just a great way to clear the head.
Yeah, and the big thing is you don't have to kill yourself. It's not about killing yourself doing things. Actually, probably the worst thing you could do is say, I'm going to get fit, and you go out and you run. And if you're only starting off, you can only run for probably 30 seconds or a minute, and you're dead. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Take it easy. Yeah. And just a little bit of a push for a few seconds, and then back to your cope with.
We're trying to create good habits, and as I mentioned earlier on, that we talked about the skills driving the confidence, and the skills driving the confidence, which drives the motivation, etc. So if we think about it, it's the same applies to adults. If you're trying to get up off the couch, or you're trying to get a little bit more active, there's no point in going out and trying to do a marathon on the first week, okay? So little bits and often. Go out, have a walk, just do a 1K walk, come back in, do that for a week, and you'll feel better, and you'll feel a little bit more confident in yourself, and that'll motivate you to maybe do 2K the following week, and all of a sudden that cycle builds up, and you'll be doing a marathon by the end of the year, hopefully.
Indeed, that there's some hope of me ever doing a marathon. I was never that pushed to get up to that sort of level. I'm just quite happy that if I'm able to get up and down the stairs without having a heart attack, I'm happy.
I was a bit tongue in cheek with the marathon, but honestly, I have an aunt who was an inspiration to a lot of us in the family in the first lockdown, and she had mapped out, she only has a small garden, but she mapped out how long a lap of her garden would be, and she did whatever amount of laps it was a day to clock up a mile. So she'd walk a mile a day within her garden, and over a month she basically clocked up a marathon within her garden, and she was delighted with herself and very proud of herself. But it's something that she keeps up now, and I think something like that, something small and attainable goal, can help people sort of move towards that active lifestyle.
And it is amazing when you do get active, and I use this very cautiously, the word addictive, it gets addictive. It becomes a pleasure. It becomes something that is really enjoyable. Of course, when you exercise, you release endorphins into the brain, and the more you do it, the more you you enjoy it. And we're not talking about huge stuff. Get out there, get up, and go out for a walk for 20 minutes or half an hour, and you'll soon find after a few days you actually look forward to it.
100%, and I know the weather is not exactly playing ball at the moment, but I can't recommend it enough. Whatever your activity may be, whether it be walking, whether it be running, whether it be cycling, obviously sticking inside your radius, but or some people will be doing home workouts, some people will be just trying something different, and now is the time to do it. Now is the time to try and make a change. So hopefully, coming out of lockdown, people can take up or can continue with these healthy habits, and they'll have a noticeable change in terms of their lifestyle and the big impacts then in terms of your health.
And an interesting thing that I came across a couple of weeks ago, with people were discussing this, was the if a lot of people are working, they're working from home and that, and things can get on top of you, and you're not thinking clearly and so forth. And it's amazing if you can go out for a walk for 20 minutes, half an hour, how that clears your brain, and you can actually think more clearly. And it's been out there, maybe even on your own, where your mind gets a chance to mull things over without you being even conscious of doing it. And you can see things and fix problems much easier.
Yeah, well, for me, I don't have the scientific evidence to back it up or to hand or anything like that. But for me, I find it really beneficial on my own, just for clearing the head and feeling a little bit better, particularly in these times.
But to finish off before we have to go, for children, and we're talking about, from, as we're saying, 5 to 12 and even earlier, if parents can just encourage them to be a little bit more active, and those sort of old games that we used to play would be just as beneficial to them as going down to the local sports club, which they can't do at the moment, of course.
Yeah, so what I would say is 100% encourage your kids to be active, try and be active with the kids, okay? So you think about it, like, kids are the greatest mimickers out there. They will copy what they see their parents doing, particularly at a young age. So you being active with young kids, one, it helps them build those building blocks of those basic skills. But two, it also, they see their parents being active and they create good habits from an early age. And yeah, what I would say is people to encourage the kids to go and play, and go out and play with them. And the more you do that, and the more the kids play, the more they'll develop, the more they'll flourish, and the more you set them up for an active and healthy lifestyle.
And they'll sleep better.
Yeah, maybe so.
Which is a very, for a parent, that's a very important thing. Dr. Bean, thank you very much for chatting to us this morning. Very interesting to hear your thoughts and what your research has come up with. I have to say, me for one, I would totally agree with you. And I'm sure people are listening in. And if they can take anything away from this, is just keep your kids active, get them going, whether it be old games or down to the local sports club when they're open. It will have huge benefits to them when they get older.
Absolutely. Pleasure to be on. Thank you.
Take care. All the best now. Bye-bye. There we go. That was Dr. Stephen Bean. And he's from UCD, the Insight Centre for Data Analytics at DCU, and telling us there about the importance of getting your kids going early. Those old games that we used to play, hopscotch and skipping and so forth, will really stand to them when they get a bit older.